Be here with you this morning. We're thankful for Brother Joe's thoughts to us this morning. Certainly it is very important for the child of God to ponder the path of his feet. That's why I'm thankful that God has given us his word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path to shine the light. In the midst of a dark world, we've been given something wonderful in God's word to shine a light on where we should go. And, you know, there in Proverbs chapter 4, I believe in verse 17, it says, "The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Being around God's people will help light your path. And the path of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And certainly we don't want to follow the path of darkness. I love that description of the whole armor of God and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, to prepare the gospel involves reading, studying. And that's not just for the preacher. That's for everybody to do. And we need to be prepared and always ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us a reason the hope that's within us with meekness and fear. That's for all of us to do. And that takes preparation. And that certainly is something we should be working on a daily basis. We're currently, Jenny and I are preparing for this 10-mile army run. I've never been in a race that long. And the preparation is different than from what I'm used to. Because if you're going to prepare to run for that far, for that amount of time, she's planning to walk. But I'm planning on running. It just takes a certain type of preparation, very specific to running that distance. And for us, as children of God, we need to be prepared to do the things that the Lord would have us to do. And certainly, in much prayer and much meditation and reading and studying God's Word, He'll prepare us for whatever we're to face in this life. And certainly, we thank God for as many blessings, and may Lord help us to walk in a way that's pleasing in His sight. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'd like to consider a verse of Scripture here at the end of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. It says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In this verse that we've read to you, certainly if you're going to understand anything in the Bible or anything written in the context that it's written, starting with the word "for" is never a good idea. That tells you that if you read "for," "therefore," "wherefore," you have to go back and read what it's there for. That's a good rule of thumb. And this text starts with "for." And certainly it'd be hard to really understand what he's describing without knowing the verses that are around us. In verse 19, at the end of that verse, it says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." You're not your own. And verse 20 says, "For you're bought with a price." So we are not our own. It'd be wrong of us to think of ourselves as our own. We can do whatever we want to. You know, in this coronavirus, certain things have surfaced that probably have been there all along. You know, to live in a free country, that's challenging for us to really understand this concept that we're not our own. Because in a free country, you are your own. You eat where you want to eat, when you want to eat it, do what you want to do, when you want to do it. In a free country, you can do all of that. And if someone tells you to wear a mask, well, free people don't want to do that. Someone tells you to do this or don't do that, or you stay in your house, people don't want to do that. We live in a free country. But I'll tell you, the child of God must understand this concept that you are not your own. You're bought with a price. And, you know, in talking about slavery these days, that's not a popular subject, and it shouldn't be. You know, what they call it now is human trafficking, where people are actually selling other human beings, and that's wrong, and it's detestable, and it shouldn't happen. But I'll tell you, when it comes to you and I, we should view ourselves as God's slave. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 describes himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul thought of himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And to serve Him and do whatever He wanted Him to do, He was willing to do that. And you and I should not think of our life as our own, that we'll do what we want to do and be where we want to be who we want to be. We are not our own because we've been bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, I would say that some things are a good investment, and some things are worth the price you pay for them, and some things aren't. When I think about how precious the blood of Jesus Christ and how worthless that I am, I tell you, that just doesn't sit too well with me. But Jesus said Himself in Matthew chapter 20 that He came to give His life a ransom for many. That word ransom means the price of life. And the price of our life, the ransom that had to be paid, was paid by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if something's not worth the price you pay for it, but there's love there, then the purchase will be made. The reason that Jesus shed His blood, the reason He paid the price for you and me, is because He loved us. Loved us with an everlasting love, loved us with an unconditional love. And certainly, you and I are bought with a price. We belong to God. We are His. He refers to us many times in the Bible as His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. We are His. We belong to Him. We are not our own, and we shouldn't think of ourselves as our own man or woman or whatever the case may be. We are bought with a price. He says, therefore, verse 20, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, purpose of our life, and the most important priority we should have in our life, is to glorify God. That word glorify, it can mean praise, magnify, render honor to. This is why we're here on this earth, is to glorify God. This is the purpose of our life. And here He tells us to glorify God in our body and our spirit. To me, that is describing on the outside and the inside. I appreciate Brother Danny's prayer this morning talking about sheep and wolves' clothing. Or actually, I think backwards, wolf and sheep's clothing. I'll tell you, that's a very prevalent thing sometimes, it seems, that someone's different on the outside than they really are on the inside. But this text tells us to glorify God not just on the outside, but on the inside too. Glorify God in our body and in our spirit. Now, this is an important concept because oftentimes we may work on one and not as much the other. But both belong to God, our body and our spirit. Back up to verse 19, and let's notice it again. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? He describes our body as the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, if you go back to the Old Testament and read about the tabernacle and the temple, you will in great detail be given all the information about all the coverings and the tents and all the things that made up the tabernacle and the temple. And maybe we get bored with those details, but I'd encourage you to look at those details again in this light. that those things picture what your body is. That tabernacle and that temple is a picture on display of what you are. You know, that tabernacle is just a tent. That temple is just a building. But what made them different and set apart is because God dwelt there. God came down into that tabernacle, into that temple which Solomon built. God's presence made all the difference. And the reason your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost is because He's in you. It says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, when the fullness of the time came because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He's in you. And that makes your body the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is now special. I hate to be mean this morning, but you're not special because of your charming personality. You're not special because of your good looks. You're special because God's inside of you. That's what makes you special. God is in you, and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That tells me if we're going to glorify God with our body, then we need to be found doing what was taking place in that temple and in that tabernacle. Well, what was that? Well, first thing, there was an altar right when you walked in, and there were sacrifices there continually. You know, you and I should be making sacrifices to the Lord. A sacrifice, I remember Brother Clem used to quote to me the words of David multiple occasions that he would not offer to God that which cost him nothing. He told me that so many times. I remember it very vividly, Brother Clem quoting what David said. A sacrifice is going to cost you something. The Bible tells all of you who have come this morning, this has cost you something. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We can't just send our spirits to church. We've got to bring our bodies to make that presentation. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. Your whole life. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace wherever you go. That living sacrifice should be on display for all to see. There's sacrifices made in doing good and communicating. There's spiritual sacrifices that we as lively stones make. There was also a brazen laver in the tabernacle. And Solomon built a brazen pool that 12 oxen held. And that was for cleansing. The Bible tells us that we have been cleansed by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's a cleansing that has taken place in you and I. When we're baptized, that's a ceremonial cleansing. That's a cleansing that takes place in order to enter into the kingdom of God in this visible, real sense here in the church. But we're also to go about cleansing our vessel. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're to cleanse our vessel. In fact, if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy 2, I'm just going to notice what Paul tells Timothy here in this second chapter of Timothy. He says in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared, there's that word again, unto every good work. Now notice he's talking about a man cleansing himself. You know, Brother Joe started in Judges chapter 2 and talking about the people that they were supposed to drive out. I see those people as a great picture of the sin which easily besets us, that if we don't get it out of our life, it'll just keep plaguing us, keep bothering us. And all these things and the works of our flesh, if we give place to them, we won't be this vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. He goes on to tell Timothy, flee also youthful lusts. Let's get back to 1 Corinthians 6. I want to notice with you something earlier in this chapter that I find very important for this day and age in which we live. If we're to cleanse ourselves of these things, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice he gives us a list of things here of the type of people who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now we understand that in heaven there is no sin. In fact, if you read verse 11, he says, such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. That's what we're looking for, forward to in that land of unclouded day. But here on this earth, in the visible kingdom, these types of people should not be in the kingdom of God. They should not be members of the church. This is a standard that should be enforced, a behavior that should not take place. He says, neither fornicators nor idolaters. You know, we say, well, we're not worshiping Baal and judge like they were in Judges 2. Well, some people used to worship the sun and the moon and the stars and say, well, we don't do that now. Well, there's rock stars and movie stars and sports stars. There's other types of stars that people can worship. There's other different activities that people can serve instead of God. You know, when you look at the activities that are going on right now that people are engaging in, but they won't come to church, I'll tell you, we can make a god out of anything. Neither idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That means a man acting like a woman. We hadn't seen that happen. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You know, if we're to glorify God in our body, you know, this alternative lifestyle that we're hearing about in the world that's approved by so many, this text tells us it's an abuse of your body. It's not glorifying God with your body. It's an abuse of your body. And there will be health problems down the road for people who engage in this lifestyle. And we should be speaking against it. We should be advocating against this, because this does not glorify God with our body. In fact, if you go back down here to verse 18, he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. That's a specific sin that hurts your own body, your own flesh. If you're going to glorify God with your body, then how you use your body matters. And I think about our body. You know, if you go to Psalm 115, there's a description of idols in Psalm 115. It says, they have hands, but they handle not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. They have mouths, but they speak not. It describes their idols in that way. But we have a God who have hands that can handle. We have a God who has an eyes that can see. In fact, His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. There's nothing He can't see. The light and the darkness are both alike to Him. His ears are open to our prayer. He hears the thoughts and intents of your heart. That's the God that we serve. He has a mouth that speaks. He has a voice that can call the dead back to life. That's the God that we serve. The Bible says in Psalm 15, those that make idols, they are like them. You know, you will only grow to the point of the God that you worship. Your growth will be stunted if you worship an idol. But if you're growing, if you're serving God, the true and living God, then your growth could just go on and on. And if we're to glorify God with our body, then we should use our eyes to read God's Word. We should use our eyes to look at the things that God's looking at. In Isaiah chapter 66, God says unto the humble and contrite man, He's the one that I'll look at. That's the one we should look at too. We should use our ears to hear. In fact, the Bible says to be quick to hear and slow to speak. We've been given two ears and one mouth. Maybe we should be listening twice as much as we're talking. That's just theory, but anyway, listening, hearing the Word of God, hearing the cries of God's people, the widows, the sick, the ones that stand in need. We should use our ears in that way. You see how we can use every part of, we can use our hands to help our neighbor. We can use our feet to carry us where the Lord would have us to go, and more importantly, following the footsteps of Jesus. Just think about how we can use our body to glorify God. Very important that we see that what we way we use our body matters. We should encourage our young people. Be careful how they get markings on their flesh. I remember my granddad, and he is in the Navy. He joined, I think, at the age of 17. And he followed all his buddies to the tattoo parlor. And he got this big anchor on his arm, tattooed. And he made it a point to tell all his grandchildren what a regret that was to him the rest of his life. A permanent anchor on his arm he could never get off. Just because in one small moment he wanted it. He made a permanent change for the rest of his life. And you know, what people don't realize, when you get older and your skin changes, things don't look as clear as they once did. But he tried to encourage us in that way. And we should encourage our young people. These days, I'm seeing a lot of that. A lot of markings in their flesh, when really, if you're going to glorify God in your body, that's not what we should be doing with our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. They had that laver for cleansing. They also had inside the holy place three things. Three things that I see we find in the church, and three things that should be abundant in our life. They had a golden incense altar right there in the middle. And that's a beautiful picture of prayer. And how the Lord says that the prayers of the saints come up as a beautiful aroma in the nose of God, because he has a nose that can smell. And that the prayers of the saints go up like incense. And that's a beautiful smell, a pleasant smell to the Lord. Well, inside of us, there should be prayers without ceasing. Praying always and fainting not. We'll also find there's a table that had showbread on it. And that showbread, yeah, I don't know if there's coincidences here. That showbread was lined up 6 by 6. There was 12. 6 by 6. You know how many books of the Bible there are? 66. Is it any wonder to you that what we should be feeding our soul is the very thing that the Bible is? The food for our soul, God describes His Word like wheat. He describes it as sincere milk of the Word. And Jesus Himself in John 6 says, "I am the true bread which came down from heaven." I tell you, there's no coincidence to me. We also find that there is a candlestick in that holy place. You know what should be inside of us? The light. Jesus Himself in Matthew 5 says, "You're the light of the world." You're the light of the world. And what's inside of you in the Lord being there is the true light that He is, the light of the world. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verses 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." You know, if you're going to be found with wisdom and you're going to be found with light, glorifying God by telling His word to those you come in contact with, that is how we can spread the light of the truth of God's Word. We find behind the veil the mercy seat, and we find the place where the Ark of the Covenant, we find that's the place where God was. And inside of us is God Himself placing the spirits of His Son into our hearts. So we are, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. Turn me to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to notice with you what he says here in this fifth chapter of Ephesians. Because I feel like this is so important. In Ephesians 5 verse 18, he says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now notice, he tells us, don't be drunk with wine, but he tells us what we should be drunk with. Don't fill your body with wine. Instead, fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Now notice, like an alcoholic turns to the bottle, we should turn to the Holy Spirit. We should have that kind of pull. I remember my uncle owned my grandfather's company out there in Texas. And he told my brother and I that the best, hardest workers he ever had was alcoholics. Because he said they'd work hard all week so that on the weekend they'd have money to spend to go and feed their addiction. Well, I'll tell you, that kind of draw and that kind of pull that an addict has, it's the same kind of pull we should have towards the Holy Spirit. If we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, then we need to be in constant communication with the Holy Spirit. Constant communication. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit, is talking to our spirit, what we have on the inside. Very hard to quantify our spirit, what it is. It's inside of us. We don't see it, but it's there. And when our body dies, the spirit has gone back to God who gave it. Notice Ecclesiastes 12. When the body dies, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. Again, we are not our own. God gave it to us. But the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. And in Galatians chapter 5, we read about the fruit of the Spirit. But if you back up a few verses, he says, walk in the Spirit. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I find that that expression, walking in the Spirit, has reference to walking in step, like the military does. How they all walk in step. Walking in step with the Holy Spirit means that what the Holy Spirit's doing, we should do too. Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says, He shall glorify me. Now that's the primary objective of the Holy Ghost, is to glorify Jesus. And that should be the primary objective of our life as well. Glorify God in our body and our spirit. Walking in step with the Holy Spirit, this is what it'll involve. And so many other things, but I want to notice what he says here in Ephesians chapter 5. Be filled with the Spirit. You know, if you go in your car and drive a lot, you know what you're going to need soon? Gas. Because you've been burning the gas that you have. Well, you know, people say, may criticize going to church so much. I mean, why are we meeting on this Sunday? Why are we going all weekend? Or why are we doing this? Well, I'll tell you what, I need church. And I need a lot of it. Because if you're going to go and live in this world and exercise your faith, and oh, I love Ephesians 6 where he talks about our shield of faith that shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, sometimes a shield is not effective against certain things. You know, Brother Mark Quarles, I heard him one time talking about his bulletproof vest that he would wear. And in their office, they have a glass that's supposedly bulletproof. But he began to wonder which rounds it would stop and which ones it wouldn't. Some of them would go through it. There's certain armor-piercing rounds that would go through it. But this shield of faith says it'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It's effective. It's an effective shield. It will quench the darts. As that word quench talks about extinguishing, like we extinguish a fire. It'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It's effective. God's given us what we need in this shield of faith. And I'll tell you, when it comes to us living in this world and trying to exercise our faith and trying to put on the whole armor of God, we get beat up. And we need comfort. We need to be refilled, as it were. You know, it's the simple things in life, I suppose. But when I was a boy, one of my favorite things that I ever had was free refills at the drink machine at a fast food restaurant. I know, that's very strange. Some people just, I like to drink a lot. When I say drink a lot, water, not alcoholic stuff. But I just like to drink. And I free refill to me. You can take away a lot of things in my life, but I want that free refill, you understand. When it comes to having a free refill of the Holy Ghost, here we are, dear friends. Here we are in the house of God. Here we are in the house of prayer. Here we are in the place where the Holy Ghost has promised to meet with us and refill you. Oh, you want to be filled with the Spirit? You come to the right place. Because the next few verses tell us how to be filled with the Spirit. Notice verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When we come here to the house of God, is the singing a waste of time? Are we just going through the motions of what we've always done? Or is it important? I'll tell you, it's important. Because we actually speak to ourselves while we're singing. Have you ever noticed that? We are actually talking to each other in such an orderly way that it's not chaotic. I remember one time I went to a church of another order, and they called on everyone to pray, and everyone prayed out loud. And I was hearing voices everywhere, and boy, you talk about things that'll cause nightmares. It's hearing people praying out loud at the same time. Boy, that bothered me. I was a little boy at the time, but hearing all that, though, that upset me. I didn't want to hear that again. But we can come and sing the same song and the same words, and you select these songs, and we're actually talking to one another in an orderly way. And there is something about singing these songs together and making melody in our heart. That's what's important. We may say, well, we didn't sound very good, or it sounded a little flat, or it was a little slow, or we were dragging, or whatever. That's not what matters. What matters is we're singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. That's what matters. And you know, we treasure some of the videos that we have of our children when they're younger saying and singing. And they're not going to get any records, record labels or any endorsements for their singing, you understand? But we love them. And we can't get enough of them. You say, well, we don't sound very good. That doesn't matter. The Lord, as your Heavenly Father, hearing you sing from the heart to Him, I don't care if it's on tune or not, is singing with your heart to the Lord, and that fills you with the Spirit. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, we are unfortunately living in a time where people are very ungrateful, unthankful for all that they have. We are blessed with freedom in this country. We are blessed with having enough to eat. We are blessed with all these things, and yet we've got a most ungrateful, unthankful group of people here in this nation. They don't thank God for what they have. They don't even want to acknowledge God's existence. But we, if we're to be filled with the Spirit, need to give thanks always for all things. You realize everything that we have. As Brother Danny prayed, you know, we deserve to be bitten by fire ants and mosquitoes and all. We deserve love bugs. I hate them things, but we deserve that. I certainly deserve to have to wash the front of my car just about every day to get those things off. But God, in His grace and His mercy, has given us so far more than we deserve. Let's give thanks always for all things unto God, Father. Verse 21. We may skip over a verse like this sometimes, but it's very important. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting. You know, that's a dirty word in the world in which we live. Submitting. A wife submitting to her husband. Us submitting to the will of the church. Us submitting to one another. Us submitting to what someone else wants. No, this world says, this is what I want. This is my truth. It's all about me in this world in which we live. But if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you cannot be prideful. You must be humble. You know, as a prideful person, one who thinks they're better than everyone else, and they know best than anyone else, that kind of person doesn't get along well with God. You know, God says He'll look to the humble and the contrite one. He'll look to the humble man, the contrite spirit. And one who submits to another is demonstrating something heavenly. Heavenly. You notice Jesus, when He came down to this earth, He says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. What was He doing? He was submitting Himself to the will of the Father. Now, that doesn't mean their will was different, you understand, but that means He was willing to do whatever the Father asked, whatever the Father's will was. But we, in an humble spirit, if we're going to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, I want us to think about that word spirit for just a moment, just very quickly. We're out of time. That word spirit, today, we don't use spirit, we use the word attitude. Y'all, we're a lot more familiar today with the word attitude than we are spirit. Well, if you have an humble, teachable attitude, you have an attitude of humble submission to the Lord and to one another, you're demonstrating something that Jesus did, because if there's ever one who glorified God in his body and in his spirit, it was Jesus. He's the ultimate example. He showed us how to do it. He glorified God in all the things he did with his body. He glorified God in all the things he did with his attitude, which was always right. He drove those people out of the temple of God in anger and taught us sometimes there's some things that need to make you angry. He sat there and wept over the city of Jerusalem to teach us that even a grown man cries because some things are worth crying about. He taught us how to glorify God in our body, in our spirit, and may we never forget, they all belong to God. It's all his. May we give back to him what he's already given to us. I thank you for